Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and be sure to tell us where you're from. This is episode 105. So if we refer to the show notes and you want to see the link, the picture, whatever it is we talk about, we don't know where this show is going yet. We don't know what we're going to link to, but we will put things in the show notes and you can get to those by going to verypink.com and clicking the podcast tab at the top of the page and everything will be under episode 105.
Mm-hmm.
105. Okay. We are going to get into magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers. But before we do, you have an interview with the gal from Ravelry.
Right. She's the girl that you, if you send a help message, she's going to respond to you.
Okay. And you talked to her at TNNA, right?
Yeah. So okay. They had a booth at TNNA. So I stopped by and said, hey, can I talk to somebody from your group and just kind of understand where it started and all that good stuff.
Well, let's listen.
Okay.
I'm Sarah, and I am the hostess with the mostest on Ravelry. That's my fun title. I do community support for Ravelry.
Mm-hmm. And so I grabbed you from the Ravelry booth here at TNNA, wanting to know kind of the origin story of Ravelry, how it started, how it exploded, and all that, and then where it's going. So
sure. It was started by Jessica, who's a knitter, and Casey, who's a programmer, her husband. And so they just saw a need for kind of a hub of information for knitters and crocheters, because at the time the blogs were really big, and there's still blogs out there, but back then that was it. So it was all of the knitting blogs. And so there were just so much information spread out everywhere, but there wasn't one place where you could get information on patterns and on the projects that people were making with that pattern and that sort of thing. You had to just kind of figure out, oh, what blog did I see that on? Mm-hmm. Let me go find it. And so it kind of started out as the main goal being, you know, trying to bring together all of that information that was spread out all over the internet. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it just sort of happened organically as it went. But they started out with invitations because they started out with just smaller servers and they didn't know how many people would be interested. I don't think anyone dreamt it would eventually be 7 million members. And so at the time, they were just inviting batches of people as they could. And Casey and Jess were both working full-time jobs and coming home at night and working on Ravelry. And so slowly, they just continued to invite people and eventually got to the point where they could make it open so that, you know, we can add people as they come now. Mm-hmm. Instead. But it was really crazy the first year or two where people were awaiting their invitation to get onto Ravelry.
Right.
And so, yeah, it just started out with the pattern database and allowing people to add their projects. And then the forums really got started as we were developing the site and getting people's feedback. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is sort of added on from there. But that was really the main purpose was to be a hub of information. Mm-hmm. and having a pattern database where people could go and see what people were making with the patterns and what projects would look good on them. Mm-hmm. And things like that before they went and made a pattern.
Yeah, and I think that's such a valuable piece of it, that to see it in reality versus what's in the magazine and things like that.
Yeah, and to see what a yarn looks like, made up by someone else into that pattern, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of great patterns and there's a lot of great yarns, but sometimes that pattern is not great for that yarn. Right. And to have to invest in that and figure that out on your own really stinks.
Right.
So to have somebody else figure that out for you ahead of time is nice.
Yeah. So you said there's 7 million members now?
Yeah, we're getting closer to 8 million. I haven't checked lately, but yeah, there's 7 million members right now. So.
And how many people on the team at Ravelry?
There's five of us.
Oh, wow.
So there's five of us. There's Jess and Casey and then myself and Christina, who lives in Austin. I'm in Houston. Mm-hmm. And then Mary Heather, who's in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were telling me earlier, if somebody sends a help email, it's you who's
it's
helping them.
It's pretty much me. If it's a general help, mm-hmm. then I run the general help emails. So if somebody has problems with a pattern or problems with something using on the site, then I usually am the one who's answering those emails. I try to get back to people as fast as I can, but with as many members as we have a lot of questions, and there's one of me.
Yeah.
So that can sometimes be overwhelming, especially after coming back from a trip like TNNA or what have you. So we do our best, but yes, we are a very small team running a site that has gotten rather large. So, but it's important to us that the site remain free for users, mm-hmm. And so we haven't, really expanded our staff, and we haven't really had the need. We manage it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, are there any? Do you know which parts of Ravelry get more use, or are there different users who are power users, or? What do you know any analytics about that?
I don't have any statistics off the top of my head, but the first question that people ask after they join is how to find a pattern. Mm. So I do think that the pattern database is still really a big hub of what Ravelry is and what people are seeking on Ravelry. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, they might not take the time to put in their own projects mm-hmm. or put in their stash, although we love, love, love that so many people do because it's such a helpful resource for people. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't have the users doing that, it wouldn't be that for right. others. So, but some people just go on and they just want to find that pattern that they're looking for. So I think, just anecdotally, the pattern database is still really the hub of information what people are using.
Are there any plans for change of any significance?
I don't know if it's anything big coming down the pipeline necessarily. We're doing a lot of looking at things behind the scenes, like making things easier for new designers to sort out what needs to happen to get their patterns on Ravelry, trying to help advertisers also with that. The biggest thing that Casey's really been working on over the last year or so is making the site mobile friendly, mm-hmm. because we don't have intentions to build an app for the site because of there's Android and iPhone and all of that, and trying to sort out learning that to make an app for it and having to maintain both sides of that, mm-hmm. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. So instead, so that it can be accessible to everyone, we've focused on the mobile site. Mm-hmm. So Casey's been working a lot on making sure that the site is accessible on the mobile devices, it's easy to use, it's intuitive. So we've been working more and more to make each little section a little bit better to use on mobile devices. Mm-hmm. That is one thing statistically we find that Ravelry logins are coming primarily from iPads, yeah. Phones, and things that are considered mobile devices, yeah. even though nowadays, an iPad can feel like a computer, or most many tablets of different brands can feel that way. So we do find that people are more likely to access Ravelry on those devices than anything else.
Yeah.
So it needs to be able to work on those devices.
Yeah. Is there any maybe not as well used feature that you think more people should be taking advantage of?
Oh gosh, I feel like there's so many.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of little things that people miss. I think my favorite feature that people don't necessarily use all the time is the bundles. If you favorite a pattern, you can then pretty instantaneously add it to a bundle. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool is you can add anything to a bundle, basically anything that you can favorite on Ravelry, you can add to a bundle. Mm-hmm. So for example, you don't just have to have a bundle of patterns, although you can. I have a bundle of primarily patterns. I do sometimes put projects in there that I call dress me up, and it's patterns that I think would look cute on me. Mm-hmm. I think I would like to make these for me, but it's just inspiration more than anything else, right? So it's not like a cued item where I know I'm gonna make it, but it's just an inspirational item. I have one for kids knits, and then I have one that I think is great gifts. Mm-hmm. So those are smaller projects because I don't spend a lot of knitting time on other people. I'm selfish that way. And so those are the smaller projects that I feel like I could whip out pretty quickly and would make a great gift. So if I'm like, oh, I'd like to knit something for someone, I go to that bundle. But the cool thing is you can put yarns in there. You can put all sorts of things in there. So if you're going to a shop that carries different yarns. You can have like patterns that you're interested in with the yarns that you're interested in making them out of. You can add so many things into the bundles. And I think a lot of people don't use that feature as well as they could because it's relatively new out of the features we have. I mean, it hasn't been around forever. And so some people just kind of got used to using Ravelry how they did and they haven't integrated that in. Mm-hmm. But it can be a really great feature just to help you get inspired and to help keep tabs of things. You see so many things on Ravelry that you might forget about. Yeah. So if you have a bundle for it, then you can go and find it when you actually need it instead of being like, I saw that great pair of mitts last week and I can't find them anymore. So
yeah, that's a good idea because it's not queuing it. It's not. And if you just favorite everything, then you have a gazillion favorites.
Yeah, and you can still search within those favorites, but like you might not necessarily think of something.
Yeah.
You know, like so if I put it in my gifts, you know, the gifts that I want to make thing, then I can go in and it's beautiful pictures the way Casey has it laid out. It's really pretty to look at. Mm-hmm. So it's just really nice inspiration too. So I'll just go into my bundles and browse around ever so often. So it's fun.
Cool. So you were kind of hinted at this. The best thing for users to do to get the most out of Ravelry is to put their stuff in it.
Yes, it's so helpful. I get asked a lot of time what the purpose of stash is. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I add my yarn to that? Why do people add their yarn if they're not selling it? But you can actually search for patterns that use yarn from your stash mm-hmm. if you've entered it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Ravelry hinges on if you enter your things, then you can really keep track of things. Mm-hmm. Even just entering your projects if you don't regularly do that. I picked up a project I hadn't worked on in a year. I had taken the needles out of them because I needed it for another project. I had no idea what needle size I used for that.
Yeah.
Ravelry knew.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what size garment I was making, right? Because I hadn't worked on it in a year. And so when I was going through the pattern instructions, I was like, oh no, I don't remember. Am I making a this or a that? And I went on Ravelry, I had recorded the size needles and the size of the garment. So like I had all of that there.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where a lot of that data, you think, oh, I'm not gonna use that. But if you have it there, it's there if you need it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, entering your stash is one that I encourage people to do all the time because you can also put where you stored it. So like if you have four
That's
boxes of yarn in your closet, then you'll know, like I have one for a blue bin and a black bin. Like I know which bin my yarn is in, so I don't have to take everything apart every time I need to find that yarn.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of handy features like that, that if you enter your information, it'll come in handy for you in the future.
Yeah.
And you have the extra added benefit of benefiting someone else because they can then see your project that you made with that pattern and benefit from the knowledge that you have, especially if you put good notes in.
Yeah. So. That's always helpful too. And I always appreciate it when somebody gave you the little, what is it?
The life preserver.
Yeah,
saying that your notes were helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'll try to give that back to that person because to encourage that kind of behavior.
Yeah. Well, and it's so nice because you can go back and find those helpful notes really easily.
Yeah.
And I don't know about everybody else, but my memory can fail. So having that to where I can just go and look at it is super helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Well, thanks for taking your time.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
For everybody listening, I stopped her when she's in the middle of knitting something. So.
Well, and really the heart of Ravelry is the community. So we just want to really thank everybody for being a part and making Ravelry what it is today because we love what we do and we love the people we get to work with.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be possible if the community hadn't contributed in the way that they did from the very beginning and even today. Mm-hmm. So we're super thankful and appreciative of all those Ravelers.
What a fun job.
It's the best. Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode is sponsored by ModCloth. To get 15% off your purchase of $100 or more, go to modcloth.com and enter code VERYPINK at checkout. Hurry, this offer expires on October 10th, 2018. Sunny days are calling at ModCloth. Nab everything from travel-inspired prints to breezy sundresses, no cardigan required. And don't forget that perfect swimsuit. One piece or two, it's up to you. Find a variety of styles in a full-size range. And full size range is right. They offer sizes from extra, extra small to 4X. And I was just talking with a friend of mine about ModCloth, one of my knitting friends. She has a friend who's getting married, and they were wedding dress shopping and getting kind of frustrated. And I told her that ModCloth now has beautiful funky, cute wedding dresses. And, well, she was excited to hear that because she wants to go shopping in ModCloth for sure. And even if you're not getting married, if you're not the bride at least, they have dresses to wear to a wedding, work dresses, casual dresses, sundresses, cute prints, cute cuts. It's definitely worth a look. I love the style of ModCloth. And their website's really fun to shop too. So if you would like to go dress shopping right now, just go to modcloth.com, enter code VERYPINK for 15% off your purchase of $100 or more, and we'll have a link in the show notes. Well, thank you for that, Casey.
Sure.
And speaking of the history of Ravelry, I never imagined that Ravelry would be like as much a part of so many people's lives. I mean, it's united so many knitters and everything. Yeah. I was one of the first beta testers.
That's so cool.
One of the first 100 people. I think I was like number 68 or something. I was one of the first 100 people to use Ravelry.
Cool.
And it was back when we were giving a lot of feedback to Casey to let him know how things were working. Uh-huh. And then every few months we'd get 5 invitations to invite 5 people.
Oh, fun.
And of course, my knitting friends were all, please, next time you get invitations, please let me in. This sounds so cool. I want to see what this is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually they just opened the barn doors and let everybody in who wanted in. But it was just really controlled membership to get everything working right. So I love hearing about more about it because I was on the other end of that.
Yeah. Do you have like a sticker on your profile that says beta tester?
You know, I need to find something. There is this thing that you can do something with your Ravelry page see what number you are. Mm-hmm. Have you done that before?
Yeah. I forgot how to do it, but
we can look it up.
Yeah.
If we find it, we'll put it in the show notes because there's something like you click on this and click on this and click on this and then a magic thing happens to tell you what your membership number is.
Yeah. And I think you can do little badges and stuff.
Okay.
I think I saw something like that. So
I don't know.
We didn't talk about that.
No, you and I can find these things. And if we find them, we can put them in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because now I want to see my number again. Do you know what your number is? Did you find out?
I don't remember.
Okay. Were you early?
I was pretty early.
Early in.
Not that early, but I just think it's cool. Like, and it kind of goes back to the TNNA interview. Like the more you put into the community, the more you get out.
Oh, for sure.
And the more you participate and you put your stuff in there, it helps Ravelry as a whole grow. I just like that whole idea.
Well, even when there were just 100 of us, it was so fun to see.
Yeah.
You know, I would check it. I was following 100 people and seeing everything that they were knitting.
Yeah.
And so every project that they were knitting and the progress they were making was so interesting to me. And now, you know, we have Instagram where we can, you know, we can see the pictures of the progress and everything. But this was Ravelry where I was intensely following all these people.
Yeah.
It is great. And the more you put in, the more details you put in, the more you help another person, the more you introduce another person to different stitches or yarns or what. Yes, it's a community.
Yeah.
The more you put in, the more you get out.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's get to some questions.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. Like many other listeners, I learned to knit by watching your videos and they are always my first choice for reference when I need to learn something new for a pattern. Stacey, you are a born teacher.
Aww.
You explain everything simply and completely. I'm a PhD student and I knit every day because it helps me stop thinking about school so that I can sleep better at night. Thank you for making knitting fun.
Isn't that funny? Because you and I were just talking about things we do to not think about other things.
Yeah.
Knitting is pretty great for not thinking about school, not thinking about politics, not thinking about... Yeah, it really works well that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's my question. I'm working on a scarf pattern that involves an 8-stitch cable. 1 stitch is held in the front of the work and 6 stitches on a separate cable needle are held in back of the work while working a stitch from the left needle. I feel like I don't have enough hands. Do you have any advice for making this stitch a little easier to work? Thank you, Keely from Lawrence, Kansas. Keely is the cutest name, and I wanted to name my kid something like that, but he was a boy.
Is Keely an Irish name?
Yeah, that was one of the names that we were looking at for a girl.
It's a girl, an but Irish
it's
girl's
different,
name.
Different spelling, but...
Okay. Yeah, it is a cute name. I don't know that I've ever heard it before.
Yeah.
Keely, you have a cute name. but she's asking about not feeling like she has enough hands to work this cable. And the cable is 1 stitch held in front, 6 stitches on a separate needle. So it sounds like she has 2 different cable needles going. And I do have a little bit of advice. First of all, it takes some practice. It's always going to take some practice. It's always going to feel awkward. Second, this is a awkward cable stitch. You can't just do 4/4. You don't have to do this 2 cable needle thing going. You can just like hold 4 stitches to the front, knit 4 stitches and then knit the 4 stitches off the cable needle, mm-hmm. you'll still get a cool looking cable. It just won't be this hard. You're still using the same number of stitches. But before we talk about modifying the pattern, I think the best thing you can do is to get a cable needle that's going to actually really help you. And you and I were just talking about this brand because you were asking me about Brittany needles. Yes, Brittany needles. We don't pronounce T's that well in the U.S., do we? We say Italy, yeah. Brittany.
It's getting worse, too.
You think so?
I was listening to another podcast about, I forget, it's got a name. It's the Away With Words. I've talked about that podcast before. And that, like, there's a term for that. And that's kind of getting more common.
Just like sloppy really irritating talking. Me. Mm-hmm. So we're going to say Italy. And
Brittany.
And my mom says mittens.
Yeah. So I'm saying mittens is a good one. Say mittens.
Mittens. Yeah.
Instead of mittens.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. I grew up saying mittens, but then people made fun of me saying mittens. Yeah. And so I think I started saying mittens.
Anyway,
totally not what we were talking about. We're talking about needles and the Brittany needles. I don't have a lot of experience using their needles, but I think they have the best cable needles. They're not a sponsor. We need to get them in here as a sponsor.
Because I just met them.
You just met them at TNNA. Their cable needles are my favorites. They're little short wood needles that have some decent grip to them, and they're kind of bulbous on the ends and thinner in the middle. And so they're pretty easy to slide in, and then they just hang there. You can let go of them. You don't have to worry about stitches falling off. There are needles that are similar. I know Knitpick sells them where it is a little wooden stick with grooves in the center and the grooves kind of hang onto the stitches. Mm-hmm. I think the Brittany needles are actually better.
Yeah.
They hold on.
It's that wood.
The wood and then the thicker ends and the thinner center actually hold things on really well. So Keely, give those kind of needles a try. You might find that it's... just being able to let go of things and not try to hang on to everything at once mm-hmm. will make working those complicated cable stitches a lot easier.
Okay. Next question. First, thank you very much for your insightful videos and podcasts. You are my online go-to source for how-to when it comes to knitting. I'm having problems, especially in items that have increases along the side, such as asymmetrical and boomerang-shaped shawls. When I add the second, usually contrasting color, I get quite a messy-looking increase. I have one pattern that actually has a KFBF right when adding another color, and I end up with a little hill of very contrasting stitches at the beginning of the row. I've tried numerous times, more tension, less tension, breaking yarn, carrying yarn, and nothing seems to neaten the edge enough. Do you have any tips for handling these increases and changing the yarn at the same time? Melanie.
Hi, Melanie. You're talking about adding a different color and then having an increase right at the edge of the work. Is that what you see her, she's mm-hmm. saying? Okay. Because that shouldn't, I think the only problem would be that there'd be a tension issue because you're adding a new bit of color. But if you, it really shouldn't make too much of a difference what that stitch is when you add the new bit of color. Anytime you add a new bit of color, you're likely to have tension issues. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure the increase is really causing that. So this is what I do. I've been working a lot of projects lately where I have a lot of colors going. It wasn't too long ago I finished my tempestry projects. Start working with the new color of yarn, whatever those stitches are. Work a few stitches in, but if you're using circular needles, you know, only work like 10 stitches or something so the edge stitches are still on the needle. Then pull the tail end. Pull the, if you have another working yarn attached or the other old color end. Just pull on all the ends that are there and tighten everything up, and that should really improve the look. Now, the reason that I'm telling you to do this while it's still on the full part of the needle and not the cord is because when you pull those, you don't want to pull them to oblivion. You don't want to completely disappear those stitches by pulling them when they're on the cord. You want them to still be the full size of the needle. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense for what she's asking?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Because now...
I don't know. I've never seen many patterns that have the increase right there on the edge. Usually you have one stitch
and then... She might actually be talking about it one stitch in.
Yeah.
And just kind of referring to the edge in general. Mm-hmm. But it is a lot easier to work a pattern that has the increase one or two stitches in and not on the very edge.
Yeah, I just don't like the way that looks.
Yeah.
To do it right away.
Yeah, and especially if you're changing color, it always looks better if you don't have a million different things happening at once in any... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll end on that sad note.
Yeah.
It's not sad. Knitting is fun. Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is caseyknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And that is all we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.